Wonderful. Wonderful. I want to read some verses to begin this morning from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and please listen as I read these verses. They relate to what I'm going to say this morning. First of all, verse 8 says, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course." And then verse 23 of Luke 1, "And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house." And then Luke chapter 1, verse 41, it says there, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." And then Luke chapter 1, verse 59 says these words, "And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zacharias after the name of his father." Now, I notice in all of these verses something that is common, and it's going to be the subject of my message this morning. It's the word, "it came to pass." You know, I think of an hourglass that measures time, and you turn it up and the sands flow out of it to the bottom part of the glass. And that shows that time is passing. Anything that you or I look forward to, it comes to pass. Anything in this world, whether it's a birthday party, whether it's a big day, whether it's this or that, doesn't matter. It doesn't last. It comes to pass. And we're talking about time now, and it just comes to pass. And even this moment today, it's just going to be here for a little time, and then it's going to pass. And somebody has said, "Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And every event in your life just comes to pass. And I think of a preacher I heard one time. He talked about somebody that had a bunch of money in his hand, and he was running, and it was windy, and all that money, $20 bills, $100 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, it was just blown everywhere, and the wind was taking it and blowing it, and he's running around, he's trying to pick up that money and put it in his pocket, he's trying to get it back, and he gets a lot of it back, and he recovers it. But the point is that can be with money. You can recover it. You can lose your wallet and recover it. But if you lose time, you can't get it back. If you fail in time to get something that is important, you can never get it back once time is passed. And so, what a sad thing when it says it came to pass that a man died and he lifted up his eyes and he was in hell. That doesn't come to pass. Hell is forever. Everything in this life comes to pass. And I'm thinking of that this morning for this message. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And the name of my message for you today is "Because Your Time Passes." Because it comes to pass for you, speaking of time, there are three things I want to say that you should do. Three things, because everything in this life is passing away, there are three things that the Bible says here in Ephesians that you should do. Number one, it says you should arise from your sleep of death. Go to verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 5, and you follow, and I'll read it. It says there in verse 14 of Ephesians and chapter number 5, it says these words, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He says you need to awake from your sleep. He says it's the sleep of death, because he says you need to arise from the dead, and then it says Christ will give you light. Have you done that? If you haven't, while it's coming to pass, you need to awake up from your sleep death and Christ will give you light. And I'm thinking about one time I was sleeping in my house, and it was winter time, and our house was heated with a coal furnace. And sometimes that coal furnace, if you're not careful, will build up carbon monoxide gas, and it will fill the house, and you will be sleeping to death. You will wake up dead. You won't wake up, amen. You'll be dead. And that's the way it was that night for us. Our family was in the house. My wife and I, we have six kids. And we were in the house, and it was cold. It was winter, and that cold furnace was heating the house. But carbon monoxide, the deadly killer, was coming into our house and into our lungs and into our nostrils. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I heard a and a crash. And what it was on the other side of the house, we had a cat called Pixie. And that cat always slept with my daughter, Mindy. And what happened was, because of the carbon monoxide poisoning, the cat set off an alarm. Really loud, really strange. And my daughter got up, and because her head was filled with poison gas, she flattened right on the floor. Bang! And that's what I heard. Now, apparently, I hadn't had as much as the rest of the family. And I was able to get up, and I began to open the doors and began to drag everybody out of the house, drag them all out of the house. And we had an empty apartment where Matt lives now. At the time, it was empty, and got everybody to go over there. I went back in and got everybody out. And I got out, and we were so poisoned with gas, they had to try to detoxify us at Community Medical Center. We awoke out of a sleep that could have been deadly. It could have killed us all, and thank God that that cat woke us up, and Mindy falling woke me up, and I was able to save the rest of the family. And what I'm saying to you is that you need to arise from your sleep of death. You need to arise. I think of Brother Bob Majeski. He's here today. And Brother Bob Majeski got a sports injury in high school. He was suffering from that injury. And he began to take some prescription drugs to kill the pain. And eventually, he became addicted to those drugs. And he was very successful in business. It began to destroy everything. And he was driving a car, and under the influence of that, he ran into a tree, and he was in a coma. He was in a coma. I had witnessed to Bob about being saved because I was in that business with him. And I told him about dying and going to hell without Jesus, and that he needed to be saved. And he gave me some kind of mental assent of agreement, but it wasn't real. He was still going on his way, headed to hell in the sleep of death, not even realizing where he was. But when he got on those drugs and that happened, he was in a coma. He was in the hospital, and they literally wrote out his death certificate. They wrote out his death certificate. But while he was in that coma, it was like the Lord came to him and touched him, and he was touched with the awakening of the Lord. The Lord woke him up to his state. He woke him up. And when he came out of that coma, he was in a recovery place, and a pastor came with the Bible, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, told him how to be saved, and Bob was ready to believe. Bob was ready to receive the good news, and he believed, and he was truly saved and awake now and alive in Jesus Christ. And he came to this church, and he never has left. He's been here ever since. Just the other day, I went to a lady and visited her, and my wife and I went, and she had some teenage daughters who are in the public school, and she was telling us, as I told my Sunday school class, that her public school, they have litter boxes for the kids if they identify with being an animal. And there's so much darkness and so much death going on and deception, and she was telling me about it. And she was telling me about how her daughters would think she's crazy, because she said, "I never thought about heaven and hell and God and all of this, but suddenly she's been awakened, and she realizes that she's been on the wrong road, headed to hell. And she woke up and she called her uncle, who's a pastor in Florida, and he said, go to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. They'll be able to help you there. And she went to our church, and we visited her, and she was awakened of her need. And I told her that, yeah, you've sinned, and yes, you're going to die and go to hell unless you believe on Christ, who died for the world and was buried and rose again. He will save you if you trust him. And she, right then and there, she said, oh yes, I'm ready, I'm awake. She was alert. She was, yeah, I want that. That's exactly what I need. Just like Bob Majeski, she was ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you, because your life comes to pass, and once you've passed out of this life, it's gone. It's over. I was talking to his uncle yesterday in the hospital, and he was telling me how his wife, you know, they could finish one another's sentences. One time his wife called him, he said, yeah, I'll have steak and eggs. And she goes, how'd you know I was going to ask you that? He said, well, we just know what one another's going to say. And they finished one another's sentences. And he said, over the Christmas time, you know, over that time back in November and right in there, she got into the hospital. And he said, I think she got sepsis, and all of her body systems just began to shut down. And suddenly this wife, he's 56 years old. I don't know how old she was, Kathy Zukowski, but suddenly Kathy passed away. And now he's all alone. I'm just saying, it comes to pass. This moment right here will come to pass. But what you do with this moment is more than important than any plan you have for the future. Because everything is going to come to pass. But I know that God wants you to awake out of your sleep so that when you pass, that you're not going to pass into hell very suddenly and be there forever. That is so important. And so you need to be awake. It's like a person that the fire is burning and they're sleeping in a bed. Somebody's got to say, hey, there's fire in there. Wake up. Wake up. That's what I feel like I'm doing. Not a literal fire here, not a physical fire, but a fire awaiting you, that if you are not awakened out of your sleep, you're going to wind up in the sleep of death and never be able to get out of hell once you get there. And so you need to be awakened. And I think of the great Jonathan Edwards. He preached in a monotone voice. He preached with an old robe on, you know. And he had young people in his church. They were into dancing. They were into partying. They were into fornication. They were into having fun, you know. And there were ladies in the church that were praying, God, wake them up. Wake them up. They need to be waking up. They need God. They need Jesus Christ. And they're not going to be young forever. It's going to be gone. And all of a sudden, he was preaching one day. He'd already preached this message before, but he began to preach the same message. And all of a sudden, they awakened out of their sleep of death. And they began to grab the pews in the church, wooden pews like this. And they grabbed the pews, and they grabbed them. Why? Because they were afraid they would slip out of their body into hell. And they were awakened that they were headed to hell. I remember that as a 17-year-old when I was not awakened. I was sleeping. I was living in this life. And then suddenly I realized, and God used this verse, and it came alive to me. Hey, you need the Bible to awaken you. You need the Spirit of God to awaken you. And that verse came to me. Jesus said it. What will it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I was 17 years old, and I thought, I want to have money. I want to have a good woman. I want to have a nice car. I want to have this. I want to have that. I'm 17 years of age, and God gave this to me. What good is that going to do you if you lose your soul? If when your body dies and your soul comes out of your body, it goes to hell, you'll never get out of there again. And I thought, I'm 17, but man, that is so important. And now all that time has come to pass. And it's just like yesterday. Boom, boom, boom. It's just like yesterday. And when you're waking up and you're in hell, it'll be too late. And see, because it comes to pass, God says to you today, wake up out of your sleep and realize that you need Christ, and put your faith in Christ, and Christ will give you light. I'm thinking about my daughter, my middle daughter, Brooke Diane Bloom, and when she lived at our house as a little girl, little blonde with blue eyes, and she was in her bedroom, and she was just going along, living her life, enjoying this and going to school and having that. And one day she awakened to the fact, I don't want to die and go to hell. And she kept saying, I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. And we tried to tell her the truth. She said, I'm afraid we're going to die and go to hell. And I said to her mother, I said, she needs you to talk to her. Why don't you talk to her? And her mother went in there and she talked to her with the word of God and gave her the promises of God. And this girl that got awakened put her faith in Jesus Christ and was saved. She was saved and it came to pass, but now she's got something permanent. You know, we've had these campaign days. We've had these big days. We got pizza day. We got carnival day. But these days come to pass. But if you get awakened out of your sleep, awakened, and you say, well, how awakened do I need to be to get saved? Well, you need to be awakened enough that you realize that you have sinned against a holy God, and God is angry. That's what Jonathan Edwards preached, sinners in the hands of an angry God. You say, how many sins do I have to commit to make a holy and a righteous God angry? Well, how many lies do you have to tell at minimum to be a liar? How many murders do you have to do at minimum to be called a murderer? So if you told one lie, you're a liar. And the Bible says liars are going to go to hell. You say, I don't agree with that. I don't either, but that's what God says. It's not you or I. God is angry with sin. And so you need to be awakened enough to realize you're a sinner. And then number two, to be awakened enough to realize that surely you will not pass go in the Monopoly game of life. You will not collect $200. You will die and go to hell forever to pay for your sin. I didn't write it. God wrote it. It's in the Bible. And you say, well, that's how awakened I need to be. Yes, that's how awakened you need to be to realize those things are true. But then thirdly, I needed to know this, and you need to know this, the good news. Amen. You've heard the bad news, but this is the good news. The good news is Dr. Jesus can give you the cure. Amen. Dr. Jesus can give you the cure, because Dr. Jesus is God in the flesh, who was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago, lived that perfect life, so he didn't have to die and go to hell. So when he died, he didn't die for his own sins. He died for the world. Amen. To offer you the cure. What's the cure? Well, he rose from the dead. That's a receipt saying that God accepts his blood as the payment for anyone and everyone who will simply come to Dr. Jesus and say, I'm trusting you for the cure. And you come to him by faith, you trust him, and all of your sins are paid for, and the perfect life that he lives goes to your credit, and you get to live forever. You say, that's so simple. Yes, it's simple faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I think of the guy in the Titanic. He was going down and he kept popping back up. It was cold and he was drowning and he kept popping back up. And he would pop up next to somebody that was in the water of the Titanic and he would say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then he popped up next to a lifeboat and there were some young girls on the lifeboat. And he said to those young girls, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's the only way to be saved. And one of those young ladies testified in the 1980s. That she got saved at that time. And it came to pass, that shipwreck, but she got saved that night because of that guy. He died and went to heaven. Amen. She lived, and I heard a television video of her testimony. And now I'm telling you here, April the 30th, 2023, so that you can wake up, right? And that you can be saved on this big day. And it will last forever, because once you believe in Jesus, I was saved at 17. I'm just a little older than that now. I'm at least 27. And once you get saved, it lasts forever. Thank God for that. He gives you everlasting life. And so because your time passes, you should arise from your sleep of death. Ephesians 5:14. Number two, because your time passes, listen to me, you should walk wisely. or circumspectly, if you want to use a big word, but walk wisely, because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, you're supposed to walk wisely. Why? Because now Christ has given you the light. You do have the light, and so you can walk in the light. And if you've been awakened, you've run out of the house that's on fire, and now you're a wise person. You're not like those that are still at sleep in the house. By the way, that's why the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. I know every day this week, this young man right here is a wise young man. You say, why? Because he's taken Jesse out. He's taken other people out every day, just about this past week, and told people how to get saved. And if you're here today because he told you how to get saved, it's because he's being wise. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. And we should seek, if we know that people are dying and going to hell, we should seek to win as many as we can. Right. And use our time wisely. The Bible says in Psalm 90, teach us, listen to me, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You know what? I have found out that these big days are worth the time. Yep. These big days are worth the money. Yep. These big days are worth the work, because we've got all eternity to rest. Yep. We've got all eternity to rejoice. But we only have this little bit of time that comes to pass to invest in eternity. And that's why I am so glad I'm a part of a soul-winning church. Amen? I'm so glad I'm a part of that kind of church. And I've had people that don't have that priority. They don't have that wisdom. The Bible said if you hang around with the wise, you'll be wise. You hang around with fools and you'll be what? A fool. And so, listen, sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. I talk to people sometimes, is there anything wrong with these video games? Well, they're not sinful in and of themselves to have video games, but if they addict you, if they keep you from prayer, if they keep you from reading your Bible, if they keep you from going to church even and doing the work that God would have you to do, then for you, you need to get rid of them. You need to put it away so that you can walk wisely. And I'm saying to you today, the good is the enemy of the best. When it comes to time, you want to use that time the best you can. And you need to have wisdom from God in order to have the best use of your time. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you're going to walk wisely, you need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? Who's going to control you? The one that you feed. Somebody has said that the old nature is like a monkey on your back. And if you keep feeding it bananas, that monkey will grow, and you'll find out it's not just a little monkey, it's a gorilla. And that gorilla will choke you. If you keep feeding that old nature in your life, it's going to choke out the good things that God wants for your life. And so God wants you to feed the new nature. He wants you to have that new nature strong. And you say, how do I get fed the new nature? You read this old King James Bible right here. You do it every day. You pray every day. I would do it the first thing in the morning. And I would do it again through the day. And don't let anything keep you from it, my friend. I know Destiny, she prays every prayer meeting, keep me reading that Bible. Keep me in that Bible. Because you and I need to be brainwashed. Amen. And by the way, you need to go to a church where there's a good old-fashioned preaching of the Bible. Amen. We need the old time religion. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love God. Makes me love His Word. Makes me love His work. And so you feed that new nature by getting out and hearing preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourself together as the manner or habit of some is. And all the more as we see the day of Christ coming, you need to get in the Word of God. What are we talking about? Everything passes. Time passes. And so you need to grab hold of the moment and walk wisely by being filled with the Holy Spirit, feeding the new nature, starving the old nature, and you will find out that God will bless your life. And by the way, when you walk close to God, He helps you to walk circumspectly. You say, what does that mean? We're walking through a minefield. The devil has minds, and he has traps for us. And how do we know where we need to walk? Well, when we listen to the Lord and what He tells us in the Bible, we avoid getting our leg blown off. We avoid getting our arm blown off. We avoid things that can destroy our life because we're walking wisely. And so it is so important, the decisions that you make. I am so glad for certain decisions that I made because I heard the preaching of the Word of God. I'll tell you, one of those decisions has to do with kids that get enrolled in Christian school. The government schools today are not so much majoring on teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic as they are teaching Marxist, globalist hogwash. They're teaching people anti-God, anti-Bible philosophy. And my friend, I'm seeing it wherever I go. And so I am so glad when I see a parent wise up and walk wisely and pull their kid out of public school and either do homeschool or Christian school that is a true Christian school. And I'm saying that is a blessing that can change a person's life. And so because it comes to pass, and because your decisions are so important, you need to walk circumspectly, wisely. That means carefully. And I remember Dr. Ware, our first pastor, he used to say, you know, Brother Bloom, he'd say, man, the devil is watching us. He's trying to trip us up in this church. He said, I feel like we're walking on eggshells. And we need to be careful. Watch out and be careful, because the devil can come to you and deceive you and trick you. He can use a person that presents themselves as a friend, but actually they'll lead you away from the best for your life. And you got to put Jesus first. Amen. He's my best friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm going to stay with Him. And so I know, because time passes, I want to make the best decisions. And I want to make a decision that is so good. I'm so glad for Matthew McWhorter here and the decisions that he's made. And I've seen him come to the church and he's heard the Word of God and he's made decisions. Now he's a Sunday school teacher. He's a bus captain. He's having a life that counts for Jesus Christ. Well, why is that? Because he decided that my priorities are going to be found right here. And every day I'm going to seek to put a smile on the face of Jesus. And so I'm going to put Him first in my life. And when you do that, you do it one day at a time. When you come to the end of your life, guess what? You're going to have eternal rewards in the kingdom. I mean, you're going to have wonderful rewards. God's going to give you open doors of responsibility in the kingdom. But right now, while you have this little time, God says you need to walk wisely. You need to walk carefully, circumspectly, because you have such a little bit of time in your life. How do you do that? By waking up and getting saved. How do you do that? By once you get saved, get saturated with this Bible here. Get to church, hear the Word of God, and hang around people that are serving the Lord. Amen. That, you know, I always like to say, you need to be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. Some people don't like that. Well, they're not my best friends. I'm going to hang around those that are doing the best. And so that's number two. Number three, because it came to pass, you should redeem the time. Look at verse 16 of Ephesians 5. I'll read it. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You need to redeem the time. What does redeem the time means? It means to buy back the time and deliver it from being wasted. Buy back the time and deliver it from being destructive. Buy back the time and deliver it from all the bad things that can happen in your time. You need to be careful to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Evil is everywhere. It's waiting to get you. And so you need to redeem the time. I like what Martin Luther said. You know, Martin Luther, he was fighting the devil. Martin Luther was part of a great revival called the Reformation. And Martin Luther got a lot of people out of the Catholic Church, and they believed on Christ, and they were saved. And the devil was so real to him one time, he took an inkwell where he used to dip his pen, and he threw it at the devil because he thought the devil was coming at him. He wanted to get the devil. But Martin Luther said this about his time. He said, they said, Martin Luther, what are you going to do today? You got a busy day. What are you going to do? He said, I have the most busiest day of my life you can believe. In fact, he said, I've got so much to do today, I'm going to spend the first 2 hours in prayer. I'm going to spend the first 2 hours in prayer. And Martin Luther did. And he spent time with God. And he spent time in the Word of God and seeking God. Lord, how do you want me to spend the day? Help me to redeem the time today. I pray that every day just about. Lord, help me to redeem the time today. Give me the grace to use the time the way you want me to use it. Not the way the world wants me to use it, but how you want me to use it. You help me to do that. And so he gives me that grace to do. You know, time is something that there is a lot of. And if you can imagine a container being time that's allotted to you, and you want to fill that container with good things. And so let's say you have this big barrel and you put bowling balls in it. And you fill it up with bowling balls, right? And that represents commitments that you've made to use your time wisely for God. But the thing still has some space in it, and so you say, well, I'm going to put some marbles in it. And so you begin to pour marbles, and they all filter down around the bowling balls, and they fill up, and you say, now that container is filled with the marbles. But then you say, well, maybe there's still some space left, so I've got a bunch of BBs, and I pour the BBs around the marbles, around the bowling balls, and it's filled up with BBs. But wait a minute, is it still filled? No. You say, I have a bunch of sand, fine, dry sand. And you pour the sand around the bowling balls, around the marbles, around the BBs, and it fills it up. You say, that container's filled. But wait a minute, now you have water. And you pour the water in there, the liquid, and it fills up all the gaps, and now it's totally filled. That's what it means to redeem the time. To use every moment and to use it the way God wants you to use it, and you use it for Him, and you won't be disappointed, because the Bible says redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you need to have a plan for every day of your life. What are you going to do in your free time? I mean, you have certain time like sleep and work and so. I'm talking about, what are you going to do with your free time? I have a plan. I know what I'm going to do on Wednesday. I know what I'm going to do on Tuesday. I know what I'm going to do on Thursday. I've got a plan, and it's all with God's priorities. And then I'm careful to fill that time the best way I can, and to do that all through the week. And so you plan your whole life out. To walk in the Spirit means that you have a plan for your life. Somebody has said that idle hands are what? The devil's workshop. And so is idle time. So is idle time. You say, well, how about rest? Do you get? Yes, there is rest. If you have been working and pouring out for the Lord, you're going to need some recreation. Amen. But notice the word recreation. What does it break down to? recreation. You know, God created the world in six 24-hour days. He rested one 24-hour day. Well, what was he doing? He was reflecting on the work. He was reflecting on the work. And that's what we should do at the end of our work time. 6 days shalt thou work. And then at the end of our work time, we should be able to reflect back and see what was done. And see the blessing of what was done. And what does that do? That helps you get started for a new week again. I like to look back on a Sunday and see all that we did. And then look forward on Sunday to the new week. And to all that we need to do that's going to last. Listen, redeem the time. The days are evil. And if you have been awakened from the dead, and if you have the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God and the light of Christ, then you can invest your time and it will pay you dividends in eternity. Somebody was talking to me the other day about money, and we were talking about investing money. We said, you know, the American dollar has inflation. It just keeps getting less valuable and less valuable and less valuable. And people say, yeah, I need to get gold. I need to get silver. But you know what's even more valuable than gold and silver? Because FDR made gold illegal. He said, you'll go to jail for 10 years if you own any gold. But you know what's the most valuable thing at all? Investing in a soul-winning ministry. Investing, because you can't take out anything that you own from this world. You can't take your car out. You can't take your house out. You can't take your gold out. You can't take your silver out. But what you can take out are people saved on a big day like this. What you can take out are people that you had a part in bringing to Jesus Christ and to faith in Jesus Christ. They're so valuable. And that is the jewels, the gold, the silver, the precious stones that we want to have. And they're built on a solid foundation, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so I'm glad you're here today. But I want to say, God says to you, you need to realize this. It all comes to pass. So awake from your sleep. And get something that's going to last forever. Eternal life. Walk carefully, wisely. And number three, don't waste your time. Invest your time in something that is valuable by making the right choices with your time. People, by the way, listen to me. They get on that cell phone and they can just want your time. And it's so easy to do it. You know what? Sometimes you just have to block some things out on that phone. Just block them out. And you have to make the right decisions with your time. And when you do that, you're going to invest and it's going to be so good and you're not going to waste your time. But you can be distracted. There was a book one time, it's called Tyranny of the Urgent. What does that mean? That people, they just, you got to call me right now. I need this right now. No, not necessarily. No. You have to decide what the Lord wants you to do. And you do that first and foremost and number one. And He will help you to avoid the tyranny of the urgent. Because some people are always getting caught up with the tyranny of the urgent. People that don't have the right priorities, they're getting all caught up in that. And they're missing out the essential, the most important, what the Lord wants you to do. Let's decide to follow Jesus, to put Him first. And to realize that it came to pass, so we're going to get what God wants us to get. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about it came to pass. Speaking of this moment,